Last week, I spoke to you about the disrespectful behaviour of some public servants here towards our ANZACs, from the removal of the word mateship from the Kokoda Memorial Track, to the refusal of Sydney City Council to give the ANZAC Day Dawn Service Trust a measly $5,000 for the service this year. Like, where do these people get off? But one man who's been working to honour the memory of our brave soldiers and does it on a regular basis on the program is war historian and documentary maker and author, Will Davies. And today we're discussing something that's not as well known to us, the fight for the outpost villages. Now, these villages were prepared by the Germans as they withdrew to the Hindenburg Line. And this was all to delay Allied advances. But the fight marked a real turn in events in World War One. Let's talk about that. Will Davies, thank you very much for coming in again, mate.
Good afternoon, Chris.
Now, we spoke about the German withdrawal to the Hindenburg Line the last time you and I spoke. For those who didn't hear this chat, can you quickly summarise why there was a withdrawal of that kind?
What we had, mate, after the winter stops everything. And after the winter, the Germans during that time, and they probably started this 6 months before, but they realised that if they could reduce their line, they could fall back, they could concentrate men, and they could have a defensive line that was very strong, that was a better strategic tactic for them. So they did a strategic withdrawal, and they did this in late February. They went back to the Hindenburg Line, but they left a whole series of defensive positions and trench lines to slow down that advance of the Allies. And I this just didn't happen to the Australians, but it happened, you know, for 50 miles up and down the line.
So they call this a fighting retreat.
A strategic withdrawal.
Right.
Yeah. So they weren't running away. They were just simply leaving that line and going back to a new one.
Although it was backwards.
Oh, yeah, backwards. In some places it was 20 or 30 miles. It was a huge withdrawal. I mean, the British really couldn't believe it. But they did much like the Australians did at Gallipoli. They snuck out.
Yeah.
They left things going on. They left men firing. They left flares firing up. It was as though the war was going on. And of course, our guys and the British are unprepared for open warfare. So took them a long while to sort of chase the Germans.
So at this time, and we're talking 100 years ago...
The
Australians then moved into the town of Bapem, which had been destroyed by the retreating Germans.
Yeah.
One building remained in that town.
And it was the big town hall, right? So the Australians, that's nice and handy for us. We'll have the town hall. They went in, they found a huge German mine, a bomb. So they defused the bomb. That's good. They all settled in. They set up their tables and their chairs and their headquarters, and they got to work. 6 days later, a massive explosion destroyed the town hall. Killed 24 Australians, killed a lot of Frenchmen, and totally unknown.
So you and I could see that coming when we talk 100 years later.
Yeah.
But they at the time couldn't see it coming?
They couldn't. Well, they figured they found the bomb.
Yeah.
You see, the Germans were clever. They planned it too.
That was the only booby trap, and we've sorted that out.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so 24 Australians.
Yeah, that's
lost.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Terrible.
And I was there, just interestingly, I was there literally at the town hall, the new one, on the same site. And I was with a young guy on my tour who had a relative killed in the town hall bombing. And while I'm standing there, a man came out, a Frenchman came out of the tourist office next door, and he said, "You're interested in this?" And we said, "Yes." And I introduced the young guy, and he said, "I'll put you on my list. I'm trying to collect the relatives." He said, "I've even found a relative of the German who planted the mine."
Oh.
And on the wall is a new plaque with all those Australian names now on the wall of the Bapone.
That is the ultimate in tracing your family history. You've not only found, you know, where they were, but you found out who it was.
That's right.
That killed.
That set up the bomb.
Your
ancestor. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this guy's ancestor planted the bomb, and this guy's ancestor died in the explosion.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Australian soldiers then confronted what's called the outpost villages. What were they?
So through Bapome, they go out into the countryside, and there's lots of little villages. I mean, 200 people, tiny little villages. Now, the Germans, at this point, the land is open, the hedges, the trees are sort of there, it's green fields. Not what they were used to. They couldn't couldn't get their head around open warfare. So they'd come to these villages, and the Germans had just put a trench around them and some wire, and they defended the village, and the Australians have to fight for the village, and then they'd go on and they'd fight for another village. And this was really just to slow down that advance to get to the Hindenburg line.
But it was serious fighting.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, serious fighting. I mean, you know, there's one case I was reading about the other day of a group of light horsemen that went into a village, and they found a group of Germans. They got into a serious bayonet fight. The Germans fled, but they left a lot of Australians, probably 10 or 15, were killed in just that one village. Mm. And this went on for a few weeks. But this period is the 100th anniversary of the attack on the outpost villages because they were going towards Bullecourt, where the front line was. And we'll talk about that soon, too.
And to get there, this is what had to... They couldn't just go round those villages, could they?
No. They're so close. And see, one village could fire to support the next village. Yeah. I mean, they're half a kilometre or a kilometre apart. Yeah. So it's very hard. And they had to take them one by one, very slowly, to get to where they wanted to go.
And then we get to April 11.
Yeah.
And this is leading up to that. So now, 100 years ago, the Australians are confronting these outpost villages in some serious fighting, all leading up to what happens on April the 11th, which is the first Battle of Bullecourt.
The first terrible Battle of Bullecourt. And we'll, you know, that's a hard one to think about and talk about. We were just massacred. And not a thing. We walked away at the end of the day, went home, and we lost thousands. It was a terrible day.
April of the 11th. We'll see you back around about then. Will, thank you very much.
Good on you, Chris. Thanks,
right,
man.
Will Davies. And just recalling what occurred in our military history 100 years ago. It's a significant year, 2017. And we'll continue to do that next month on the program. 16 minutes after 2, 16 after 1 in Queensland. Chris Smith across Australia. Now, if you have aches and pains, you've got to try Arbor Vitae Arthritis Pain Relief and Health Supplement. It's made from pycnogenol. Now, this is the natural plant extract supported by scientific evidence that you can research right now, pycnogenol. Arbor Vitae assists with the management of pain related to medically diagnosed osteoarthritis. It may help reduce joint inflammation and support a healthy immune system. I take it every morning. I take it every night. Love it. Improve your joint mobility and other symptoms associated with mild osteoarthritis by using Arbor Vitae Arthritis Pain Relief and Health Supplement. Always read the label. Use only as directed. If symptoms persist, see your healthcare professional. And to order it, just head to arborvitae.com.au. That's arborvitae.com.au. arborvitae. Here's a number for you. 1-300-879-863. 1-300-879-863.